What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And on The Stack, we talk about some comic books that came out this very day, Wednesday, whenever it is. I don't remember the date. What do you think it is? Like January something or something like that?
It's the heart of January.
Is it? It's a little past the heart of January.
24th, dude. It's the 24th.
Well, everybody knows the heart is like three quarters of the way down the body.
It's three quarters of the way up the body. What are you fighting about?
Oh.
It's up right near
this
your
is why
neck.
You're an optimist and I'm a pessimist.
Oh, yeah. The body's half empty.
The body's half full.
That's what you think. That's what I think.
Nice. You know what it is half full is our list of comic books that we're going to talk about, because if there are six comics, we've got three of them we're going to review. We're going to talk about Doomsday Clock number 3, Southern Bastards number 19, and Thanos number 15. Let's kick it off with something that's make Pete happy.
Yeah.
Makes Pete's happy.
What are the odds?
Thanos number 15 Woo-hoo-hoo. From Marvel Comics. This is by a good friend of the show, Donny Cates, original good guy.
A great guy. Also writing Doctor Strange, which I've been loving.
Yeah. Now, the idea of this arc is that Thanos wins. That's the title of it. Our Thanos has been taken forward in the future, met old man Thanos. By the way, Marvel, very obsessed with the old men right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Marvel's, like, getting old.
You
They're
think
like,
so?
What if Logan's old like me?
Here's my favorite thing. We're jumping ahead a little bit. My favorite thing between old man Logan, between old man Hawkeye, and this is when we get to the future, we're going to have super sweet beards.
Oh, yeah.
Getting older. Sick beards, bro.
Getting older is about letting yourself go.
So,
right, Pete?
Yeah. Laugh because it's true. Because it's true.
So the old Thanos has used the cosmic Ghost Rider to bring young Thanos, or our Thanos, to the future. For some unknown reason, we find out what this issue, as well as many other big reveals, including the identity of the cosmic Ghost Rider. Now, I want to talk about this. Let's talk about this first, because halfway through the issue,
before we get it, like, this comic is insane. Like, the first issue, completely insane. Each issue has an insane amount of details, and they keep it going. Like, after the first issue, I was like, how can this, and it just keeps getting better every issue. I'm very impressed with this comic.
Yeah, they're leaving it all on the table, and both art and writing-wise, and I think that's great. But
yes, so we find out who the Cosmic Ghost Rider is in this issue, and I will tell you, I guessed it a couple of pages earlier. So I felt
what? How did you guess that?
I don't
know.
Can I tell you how I guessed it? This is the most bizarre way. Is I know this absolutely is not how Donnie is writing the book, but I was thinking about it, and I was like, what is the identity of Cosmic Ghost Rider that would piss Pete off the most? You know what? I bet that's it. I have no idea why, but let's see what happens. When they reveal it, I was like, oh, man, this is going to piss off Pete. So, Pete...
So, your answer was that Marvel is legitimately trolling Pete LePage. Intrepid host.
When he got here, he goes, hey, is Jordan editing this book? I got to know. And I was like, yeah, he is. And he was like, ah.
So, I will mention...
So, maybe Jordan D. White is trolling me.
Possibly. That's the editor of the comic book. I don't think he is, though.
No, I doubt it.
I think they're making their own editorial decisions. Yes, for very specific reasons.
Gosh, I hope so.
Here's what I will tell you guys who are listening to the podcast right now. Since I knew what was coming, I sat next to Pete while he was reading the book, and I made a video of him when I knew he was getting to the Frank Castle is the Cosmic Ghost Rider reveal.
Could not believe it.
So I got that happening in real time. So I will post it on Twitter at Comic Book Live. I'll probably attach it to this podcast or something like that. So go to our Twitter feed. Check out what happens when a Pete LePage finds out the Punisher is Ghost Rider.
Yeah, but the thing was, it's a complicated reveal. Because at first I was like, oh man, that's so cool. Because it makes sense. Like, you know, like Ghost Rider, I think it kind of makes sense that it could be Frank Castle, right? He knows a lot of death. He's very, like, the penis stare. If you look into somebody's eyes, like, they've seen a lot of shit. So, yeah, I think that makes sense. But then I got upset. At first, I was excited. I was like, cool, Frank Castle is the Ghost Rider. And then I was like, oh, wait a second. And this issue is kind of acting like a bitch. And then I got mad.
Well, let me say, I don't want to piss in your flaming skull, but I feel like this is not... This is not Frank Castle. He doesn't act like Frank Castle.
No.
He's fun. He's like making jokes.
Yeah, but it's also been millennia, right? Like,
so you think the Punisher is getting more fun?
Yeah.
Like, the longer he's shooting people, yeah, he's like, you know what? I'm getting loose. I'm getting fun.
Well, I mean, but also, like, the Hulk is a dog who eats people. Yeah, so a lot of people have changed.
A fucked up review.
A lot of people have changed. So, Silver Surfer is bad now.
I'm just saying, to be like, Frank Castle, that dude got fun after a while. That seems crazy to me.
Here's how I take it. Here's what we're going to find out the explanation for how he ended up this way next issue. But I think his brain broke. That's what I think.
You think he's crazy? Because I was, in reading the previous issue, I was like, this feels like a very Deadpool Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's somebody who, like, the only explanation, I think, the reason I agree with you, and it's both of you guys, that it's like, how do we get from point A to point B? Yeah. And we're going to see how that happens. But I think if you take literally anybody and make them live for millions of years, I think that's what we're dealing with at this point, at least thousands of years. Turn them into a Ghost Rider, make them the Herald of Galactus. Then they're feeding people to the Hulk for Thanos. That's going to break somebody.
I actually think he took some improv classes and learned the Herald. For Galactus, and he's been doing some pretty great scene work, and he's gonna make a house.
First beat, second beats, you know, just call those back, man.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
He's like, yeah,
I also think he doesn't get it. I also think
Jesus Christ, just because you guys shut up, I know what the Herald is. You guys are getting Del Close to be kicking the shit out of you.
Cool, very cool. We're all there. No one else knows what we're talking about.
Living room opening you just did.
I don't know, whatever it is, I'm lost. This is some real truth in comedy.
Great. You covered that. Great. I was also going to say, I think it's funny that you hate Frankencastle so much.
Yeah.
But the Punisher as Ghost Rider is just as dead and just as ridiculous. Pete, do you have a comment?
You kind of blew my mind. I was just excited in the moment that, like, hey, somebody I love is in this amazing comic.
You can say that.
The more I thought about it, the more I was like,
so, I'm sorry, your first reaction was, oh, a name I recognize.
yeah, because it's like, oh, this is the reveal. And, yeah.
When you're old man Pete, like, any memory is good.
Sure, he does have a pretty sweet beard. This comic is really good. I'm really enjoying it a lot. It's a lot of fun, regardless of whether the stuff necessarily makes sense right now or not. I don't think it really necessarily matters because it's enjoyable. It's so clearly inspired by so many things in a nice way. Like, it's a mix of Future Imperfect. Is that the name of the Peter David arc?
Indeed.
The Hulk Maestro thing?
Maestro.
It's a lot of that. It's definitely a lot of Old Man Logan at the same time, where it's like all your favorite characters, but super messed up in a weird way. The art is great, and it's a lot of fun.
And that's the thing. Like, they keep raising the bar on the buildups, and it keeps delivering. Like, the reveal of, Ghost Rider at the end, like, it is, you're like, who's this going to be? This better be good. And it's doing a great job. Like, the Hulk reveal, to me, was more fucked up than the Frank Castle.
Why, just because he ate Captain America?
Yeah. And they're calling him dog. Like, that's fucked up.
Captain America must have been a good meal.
Yeah.
What? What does that mean?
I mean, he looks pretty
super
tasty.
Super serum is like marinade.
Oh, okay. It's that special sauce. It's that really
tender. Yeah. It's like A1 steak sauce.
I never noticed that before in the original Captain America comic. Abraham Erskine is like, all right, now I'm going to marinate you.
He was going to eat him. That's the fuck that no one talks about that. But
yeah,
I
and
know
he got shot before he could eat him. All right, let's move on. Talk about another book where people are occasionally eating each other. Southern Bastards, number 19 from Image Comics.
I'm not talking about that.
What? For real? What is your problem?
You are weird.
What's my problem? This is a fucking... It takes this character who's fucking racist and an asshole and builds him up into this celebrity where he can run a whole town and gets away with it for fucking 19 issues, and you guys are fine with it.
Welcome.
I'm sick of this shit. He shouldn't be alive. He should be dead. And it shouldn't take 19 issues for that girl to get there and finally take care of him. And, oh, she's going to talk with the gun? Motherfucker, shoot the fuck out of this motherfucker.
So let me just say, you wanted her to shoot him in issue 1, like before you even knew anything?
No, after her father dies, then come next issue, take care of
So him. You'd like to see the first six issues of Southern Bastards, and then issue seven is a character comes in, is like, bap, bap, kills him, and they're like, that's it for Southern Bastards.
No, then you can go on and get rest of the shitty
and
time.
Do what?
Here's the thing, Pete, you're having a big emotional reaction to this, which I think is what the point of reading and taking in any story is. So why don't you enjoy that? It's not like the book is saying, hey, everyone should be like Coach Boss. He's cool. He's an absolute villain. He's a monster. And the point of the book, I think, is that he's so entrenched in this town, in the South, and it's a take on Jason Aaron like growing up in an environment like this.
Yeah, I read his letters. Very fucking touching.
Why are you mad? But it's like such an interesting look, and it's just a very well-made comic, I feel like.
Yeah, it's really well made. The art's amazing. The writing is fantastic, but it's based around a shitty character, and we have to keep living in this shitty world until he fucking dies.
Can I ask you a question and answer honestly? Does it bother you so much because you read it and like you kind of like what he's doing?
No,
a little bit?
What? Are you fucking kidding me? That's fucked up. No. I want him to die in not just a regular way. Like, I want it drawn out for 19 issues, his death. Like,
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten so mad at somebody who you feel like screwed you over that you're like, you know, it'd be kind of nice to bash their head in with a bat?
Yeah, of course. Well, who doesn't daydream about bashing people's
heads? Have you ever thought...
He looked at me when you said that.
Jesus, that's fucked up. Have you ever thought that maybe, like, if you could just be respected, if people could just listen to you, you could do what you really wanted to do and make the world the way you really want to make it?
What the fuck? No, what does that mean?
I'm just saying, you're Coach Boss.
No, I'm not.
You're a northern bastard.
No, I am not. I'm nowhere near that racist or that fucked up.
So hey, in this issue of Southern Bastards.
Well, in this series.
Yes.
So this series centers on a small town. Football's the center of the town. In the first six issues, what seems like the main character has a axe to grind with this villain we've been talking about, Coach Boss, goes there.
Yeah,
Coach
it's kind of like
wrecks him, kills him.
It's kind of like Walking Tall, but if they didn't actually win at the end,
yeah,
but
the
in
bad
fact,
guys
lost. Yeah,
and if you've seen Walking Tall and wanted to know a dark take on that movie, this is the comic.
It
for
is
you.
Though. It is really like that, and it's great. Like, to your point, I know you disagree, and I understand it, and I understand the emotional reaction you're having, Pete. But to Justin's point, they have taken such an incredible amount of time to build up not just Coach Boss, but the other member, the other people who live in the town, and created this really dark, beautiful
picture.
See
why you guys aren't more mad. Like, he's done so many horrible things.
Can I tell
like
you?
Like, that other assistant coach? Well, I mean, what the fuck? Why
can
you guys...
tell you? This is the real, honest answer why I'm not mad. It's a fictional comic book.
And let me throw this out to you. So this on top of that, have you ever encountered a racist in real life?
I'm sure that I have, but not knowingly.
Have you? Is there someone who's like a public figure that you could point to that is like most definitely a racist?
Sure, yeah.
So does that make you angry? Because you seem angry about the fictional character than the real life character who is, you could say, sort of running the town right now.
No, that's fucked up.
Really made you think there.
Wow. That's pretty great. This book is great. In this issue, as Pete weirdly mentioned, one of the characters we've been waiting for a really long time finally shows up. It is a showdown. I am really curious how they're going to keep this going at this point. But to the point that we've been talking about, they built up so many other things beyond Coach Boss that I feel like there's a lot more juice in the comic book, even if this does end up being a climactic confrontation.
And to Pete's point a little bit, Coach Boss does seem like he is sort of the center of this comic, so I don't know how he can die. And he seems like...
He has to die. You have to kill him.
He seems sort of invincible in a way.
Yeah.
In that the everything is about him. So from a storytelling perspective. So I am very curious how that scene...
Don't you guys think he's got to die, though? Don't you want him to die?
He's very old. He probably will die.
Right. We all die eventually. Let's move on, talk about a comic book where people don't die eventually, but actually come back all the time. Doomsday Clock, number 3 from DC Comics. I got to tell you, I feel like maybe I forgot a lot of stuff from issue number 2 because issue number three jumped right in, and I felt immediately lost. Like, I felt like I was missing a bunch of stuff.
Really?
Yeah, for real. So this is taking...
the first time I haven't felt lost at the start of a DC comic in a long time.
DC comic? That's a lot of comics.
Yeah, it is.
So
the DC has a lot of continuity, and sometimes I feel lost in all of it.
Well, that's actually a fair point, because the idea of this book is really all you have to have read is Watchmen, and that's pretty much it. This is a direct sequel for Watchmen by Geoff Johns and Gary Frank. Dr. Manhattan has been messing with the DC universe somehow. We don't know exactly how or why yet. And meanwhile, in the Watchmen universe, everything is falling to pieces. Years after the end of that book, the world has fallen apart. And a new Rorschach and
Rorschach.
Yeah, I always pronounce it.
Rorschach.
Yeah, Rorschach, Mr. Shark, and Adrian Veidt, Adi and Ozymandias have traveled to our world with a couple of other people. Not our world, the DC Comics world with a couple of other people.
It's our world.
Nice. And things start to get even more messed up this issue because the comedian is back. He has attacked Lex Luthor. Dr. Manhattan has brought him back for some sort of purpose.
Did you guys lose your minds when you read that? I thought that was so cool.
I want to jump right in on that.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
What?
I don't love it because he is a fucking rapist, and it was nice to see him get what he deserves. So to have him back, they're going to have to deal with that in some way in this comic book. You forgot about that.
Son of a bitch.
That was kind of...
Now you have to hate him.
Yeah. Fuck. God damn it. You're right.
Alex ruined another Pete thing.
Well, they're going to have to deal with that at some point, right? In some way, like, they can't just have... This is my problem right now with this comic book. It's like, Gary Frank's art is gorgeous. Yeah. And Geoff Johns is definitely writing the shit out of what he's trying to write here. Mm-hmm. But we have entered the phase where it's like, pretty cool, Batman and Rorschach. That's pretty awesome.
But that was really fucked up, I thought.
What happened at the end?
Yeah, because Batman, a lot of people think you're fucking crazy, man. So, like, the fact that you went and threw Rorschach...
It's a huge spoiler.
This new Rorschach in prison is, like... fuck you, Batman. You can't do that.
Rorschach is trying to convince Batman of what's been going on in their world and that they have to save their world, and that Dr. Manhattan is somewhere in the DC universe. But like Pete said, ultimately Batman betrays him and throws him in Arkham Asylum. We find out a little bit more about the new Rorschach, and we also find out about these mime characters who I honestly cannot remember whether they were in Watchmen or not. They may have been briefly mentioned. But whatever it is,
I don't remember them.
The past two issues, we were wondering if they're just like weird clown characters, but it turns out they actually do have powers of some sort. And one of the mimes can mime things and actually make guns and knives with his mime.
Well, one of them's a mime and one of them's not.
Right. So this is another problem point that I want to point out. And this is just like, I think, a personal thing with me, because this is my personal theory about Watchmen, is I don't think anybody in Watchmen other than Dr. Manhattan has powers.
Agreed.
Like, I think everybody in Watchmen, there's no powers in that world. It's just people who have trained their bodies or their minds really well. Like, even Ozymandias, who's like, I'm the smartest man in the world. He's just a very smart guy with a lot of resources.
I mean, he's Batman.
Yeah, he's Batman, or he's Lex Luthor, or whatever you want to say, but he's nothing. So to add these mime characters who actually do have powers is weird to me.
Yes, but they are in the DC universe where there are a lot of powers, so I will give them that. My two favorite parts of the book were the Batman Rorschach stuff, which I thought was at least interesting. And yes, it was sort of not cool of Batman to do that. It's fucked up because we were going to do that to you, and now it feels weird because it was
right
in the
comics. It's awkward. It's repetitive.
Yeah.
You guys are going to throw me in the loony bin finally after all these years?
You have been begging us to throw you in Arkham Asylum. In Arkham Asylum?
No.
So you can hang out with all your friends?
That would be bad. If you guys... Yeah. Oh.
You would be like the
plans that I would make to destroy you two.
You'd be the most fun guy. You could teach improv classes at Arkham Asylum. It would be great. Like 101. Yeah.
Okay, Calendar Man. Great job, but please, yes and, not yes and another month.
Joker, really play the truth of the scene. Quit like just making jokes.
Yeah.
I know it's like your thing, but like you got to really just play
Riddler,
the truth.
Same thing for you, but with riddles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Riddle and.
There
Riddle
was a second
and.
Thing you were going to say. A second thing that you
And the other part
that.
I liked was the mime stuff. I thought those scenes actually felt like fun. And they felt like standalone scenes.
Yeah, because I enjoyed it because it was like, all right, if these two mimes are real and in this world...
It's only one mime.
Whatever, dude.
Hey, mimes don't talk. And people who aren't mimes do talk.
Okay, fine. Clown.
There are no mimes here.
Clown and a mime. I thought it was cool that they were like, yeah, of course they would immediately go after the Joker. I thought that made sense.
Clowns love clowns.
Yeah. I don't want you guys to get me wrong that, like, I think this is a very interesting book and I'm curious to see where this goes. This issue to me is the first one where I've been like, I don't know where's this going?
This issue was very coy. Yeah. It feels like a middling issue. It feels like you hate the word middling, but that's truly what it is. Like, we don't know exactly what's happening, and this issue is just saying, well, some stuff happened before, here's some more stuff, and you're going to know the truth shortly, but not yet. And that's a hard issue to read.
I feel like you got a lot of solid stuff, so you can't say it's a middling issue. Like, we have character reveals. Also, we have the comedian is saved by Dr. Manwitz, which is a big move. And then also the Batman throwing Rorschach, or the new Rorschach, in prison. I thought this was a good issue that moved things forward. I'm less confused. I'm more kind of excited to see where this goes. And as far as events go, I don't know. I've been enjoying it.
Cool. All right, guys. If you like the show and would like to support it, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, you can check us out live every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York, totally free, at the Pit Loft. So please come on by and we'll talk comics. Also, if you like the show, Riverdale, we have a Riverdale podcast that's in a separate podcast feed, Riverdale After Dark. Search for that on iTunes. Rate it, subscribe it, comment on it, do all the good stuff. You can do that on this podcast, too. That's totally fine.
Yeah.
What else do we want to plug? Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know all about all of our amazing guests we have coming up.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com. And Pete, if you don't mind, right after we're done here, we have a van outside. We'd love for you to get it. It's full of candy.
I'm not falling for this again.
He's too smart. Okay, don't get in the van. But there's a car that's pulled up right next to the van, and that's just a regular car. So if you just pop in that, and then that's going to take you right home.
I'm not going to fall for that. Is there candy?
There's a little bit of candy, but just like not a lot. Like a regular amount of candy.
I'm not falling.
No, Pete. Yes, half.
You actually are falling for it because you want more candy. You're falling for it harder than normal. Hello, don't be-